even if you're not eligible for tuition assistance, you should still continue on paying out of pocket whatever you have to get that degree because of what it's going to do to your earning potential. You know, you can do the math real quick and say, let's just say that, you know, you had to spend $4,500 of your own money over per year for 4 years. That's $18,000. And then in the very first year after that, as a commissioned officer, your base pay is $18,000 more, and you're getting $18,000 in BAH. You're getting back $36,000 in year one on an $18,000 investment. So that, you know, that's a 100% return. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing. And most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Well, welcome back. It's our 11th episode of the Service and Wealth podcast, and we're getting close to the end of August. It's been a really productive summer, and you know, I think we're sort of getting in a little bit of a routine at this point. We're starting to almost always remember to get the blogs out on Wednesday, and you know, the podcast, I always say Sunday night, and then I do it like 5 or 6 in the morning on Monday morning. And I feel like, you know, functionally to anybody who is subscribing, who is listening, that's not a big difference, right? You know, I always think about it in terms of one of my really good friends, Mike, who used to tell me, you know, he had a 1300 rule, you know, and don't go out and try to implement this for yourself or your team, you know, your workplace, just because you heard it from me or you heard it anywhere. You know, because depending on who you work for, you might get in a lot of trouble for it. But he kind of ran his own shop, and he's like, 1300 rule. If you don't get me a thing or a requirement or a task before 1300, it's going to get done the next day. You know, and that was... You can think about it what you want. Like, is that really how Marines work? You know, like, don't you just do exactly what you're told all the time? And maybe, you know, that's part of it. But what I really respected about him in that decision was it basically said, you know, one, he wasn't going to have his team or his section, you know, just stay and burn in the midnight oil and really getting dragged through the dirt just to get something done that would be, you know, at that point, finished at 1700, 1800, 1900, after everyone else has gone home for the night. Like, nobody's going to look at it. So it's just kind of like wasted effort, and you're keeping your people away from their families back home. You know, and the other part that was really important about it was saying, plan ahead, you know. And so for me, you know, getting the podcast out on Sunday night or Monday morning, like, I've got to make some time and accommodations for life and family, and, you know, putting it out at 2100 on a Sunday versus 06 on a Monday. Well, I would be flattering myself if I thought anybody was going to listen to the podcast at 2100 on a Sunday night, right? So, but the routine's getting down. The course is almost done. And that means that, you know, once we get out of summer and past Labor Day in a couple weeks here, you know, it'd be a good time to really kind of recharge and come back and rethink how we're doing our media, social media marketing strategy. And so I think what we're going to do is we're going to try to do a lot more, you know, lo-fi, show your face, original content, and really use, you know, Instagram and Facebook and YouTube as well. And so, you know, those seem to be the three with the best reach. But, you know, you're always playing around with different hashtags. Do I use them hashtags? Do I not use hashtags? What sort of keyword should I use? Do I need this to go friends and family or friends and followers, or do I want it to just go to the broader audience? And so, you know, if anybody out there wants to drop us a line, either send an email or, you know, DM us on Instagram or Facebook or something like that with some recommendations or best practices, you know, please send them my way. Anything and everything from anyone is always helpful to, because again, the whole mission of the Military Wealth Coach channel, brand, community, etc., is to get information out there that is not out there and to help you start making smart and informed financial decisions. We always talk about financial freedom and, you know, the models that I have kind of created are really focused on how you can maximize wealth that's accessible to you before you turn 60, right? And it's basically like financial freedom is when you have money that you can use to live the life you want. And there's nothing, you know, just because I say like, hey, look, you can leave the military in your early 40s after 20, 22 years, and you can have all the retirement savings you'll ever need to make in your life. So you don't even have to stress about it for the next 20 years. Plus you have $1 million in the bank, maybe more, maybe a little less, but you know, 1 to 1.5 million. And so you don't have any sort of pressure to like go out and get another job. And maybe that's not your goal. Maybe that's not your dream. Right. And so you're like, well, I just want to save for retirement and be good. And that's also a totally valid strategy. However, the things that we talk about here on the Military Wealth Coach are still going to be applicable to you. So even if you just kind of turn it off, or you know, when I say save $575 a month into your thrift savings plan, get the match, keep it at that amount, and after 20 years, you'll be set for life. And everything else save elsewhere, you know, and get into real estate. If you're like, nope, that's not for me. I'm literally going to max out my TSP and then spend the rest. Well, there are other, you know, really important strategies and tips that we put out here. You know, I think what we're going to do in September is we're going to do maybe like a 2 or 3 part, you know, series of podcasts where we talk about the blended retirement system as well as the Survivor's Benefit Program and really kind of like shed some light, some really revealing light using numbers on those programs and how you can maximize your benefits and why you should never, ever, 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 ever sign up for the Survivor's Benefit Program, right? And if you're already retired and you're past the grace period where you can opt out, I'm sorry, you missed it. But if you have not yet retired, you're just about to retire, or you're in the first, you know, 1 year, I think it might be 2 years, but at least the first year of retirement and you're in the SBP, you can still go back and opt out, right? And save yourself some money and use it in a way that'll make you millions instead of thousands, right? So anyway, we're going to hit some of that stuff up and show you exactly what we mean when we say that there is an answer to everything, right? It's not just opinions, man. If you just do the math, and that's what I exist to do, right? Like the books that we're going to publish over the next couple months are going to show you the math. So you don't even have to do it. You just have to see the numbers and there's proof enough, right? And when you break it down like that and take the guesswork out of finances, you take the guesswork out of retirement planning, you take the guesswork out of investing, just by showing that there's an answer, right? And that's, we're going to do a little bit of that today. Today we're going to talk about tuition assistance. So, you know, as I mentioned a couple episodes ago, that escalated quickly with our four-part investing series where we got, you know, talking about looking at fees and risk and beta and dividends and inflation and figuring all that stuff out. And it got a little bit chewy. And, you know, I said, well, let's come back and take a couple weeks to do some more military-specific things, right? And so that's today. I thought tuition assistance would be a good topic because it's really like socially and culturally, it's like everybody kind of like knows about it and feels like they're supposed to use it. Should you, right? That's the title of the show, is it right for you and should you use it? And what we want to talk about today is how you really have to get past this idea that more education is a good thing, or some education is a good thing, right? And there's a lot of opportunities out there to make mistakes with tuition assistance, just like with the BRS, just like with your TSP, just like with the SBP, the Survivor Benefit Program, all those. If you're not informed and you don't know how to look at the problem, which is generally from a number standpoint, you can make mistakes and it can cost you a lot of money. So let's get right into it. Tuition assistance, it is what it sounds like. It assists you paying tuition, right? And so first and foremost, it doesn't matter if you're active duty, if you're a reservist who's been activated, if you're like selective reserve, so certain reserve officers and enlisted, senior enlisted, even military civilians like the GS and GW, which are general service and general work scheduled federal civilian employees who work within the military units and branches, you can all take advantage of it. Now, there are some distinctions between the different services and officer enlisted, and we'll get into that in a second, but there's a couple things that are important to look at from the go that apply to everyone. The first is that this is a federal program, and it's governed by federal law. So there are certain things that are the same, no matter what uniform you wear and what rank you wear, such as you can get a maximum of $4,500 per fiscal year. There's a maximum of $250 per credit hour. So, you know, if you decide you want to go to Caltech to work on a master's degree in, computer science or cybersecurity or something, that might be a little more expensive. It might not cover everything, right? But $4,500 a year. Some other things in the program is that depending on your, essentially it pays for at least one and sometimes two degrees or educational programs per level. So for example, you can go out and you can get one or two certificates. And so for example, like I use tuition assistance to get an executive certificate in applied project management from Villanova. And so you can do that and you don't have to do an order, right? I did that after I did grad school, after I did undergrad, all that stuff. You can use it to go out and get an associate's degree. You can go out and get a second associate's degree. The same with a bachelor or baccalaureate, like BA, BS, like that. What we think about with a college degree, right? Like 4 years or five or longer, depending on how disciplined and focused you are. Not that I would know anybody who took more than 5 years. Anyway, and then you can get one graduate degree, but you can't do a PhD. You can't go do a Juris Doctorate. If you want to get your doctorate, whether it's in law, medicine, or something else from your military service, then, you know, there are special programs for that where you can go to a military school and get that degree and then come back and have a long service obligation, but not with tuition assistance, right? And so then with tuition assistance in general, if you're enlisted, once you're basically qualified, Air Force, Army, you got to get, Coast Guard, you've got to get all your basic qualifications done and like be in an operational unit in the fleet, out in the force, doing something to be a fully qualified individual and earn your, your skills designator or your military operational specialty or whatever, or your rate, you know, whatever it's called in your particular branch. So you can't graduate boot camp if you're enlisted and just go use it. And for officers, it's generally a little bit more where if you're in the Army, you've got to be, 2 years of commissioned service done in the Army. And then in the Air Force and Space Force, you got to basically the same thing, but you have to be an O2 pay grade. So maybe that's a squishy on 2 years. Who knows how the Space Force promotes, right? Brand new. And then the Navy and the Marine Corps, for example, you've got to be an O3 pay grade. So that's generally like 4+ years. So why do they have these minimum time requirements. Well, the military wants to help you improve yourself and become a better citizen and have more skills and then go out and do great things. But they don't want to just churn you through, have you being distracted from your duties and doing that and then leave, right? Like now that money they invested, they're not getting anything back. So they want to see that you're going to stick around for a while and that you're qualified and you're putting in the time and you know your job and you're being productive at work. And then they're going to let you use tuition assistance, right? And you can, again, you can get up to $4,500 per fiscal year, which means, you know, if you're enlisted and you've just gotten back from some sort of deployment, you're in your third year of your enlistment and you're pretty committed to, you know, doing at least one more enlistment. So you've got about a 5 or 6 year future that you're planning in the military. You know, you could take the next 3 or 4 years and each year be using $4,500 to work up through an associate's and then an undergraduate degree and, you know, come out of the military now. Maybe, you know, you're 25 years old and you served 8 years and you were able to use tuition assistance to go to, you know, community colleges or a cheap public university, work all the way up to getting your undergraduate degree complete. And then now you can use your GI Bill to go to grad school and get like an MBA, right? And, you know, big, especially for those of you who are young and enlisted and didn't yet kind of go play the game of college or grad school. You know, the crazy thing is most people in grad school are older, right? It's actually pretty rare to go 4 years undergrad and then straight into a grad program. And so, for example, when, you know, I went to graduate school when I was 23, 24, you know, basically I spent 5 years getting my undergraduate and then worked for like a year before I went. And I felt like I was going to be, you know, this old salt dog who like was telling people what to do. And I was like the youngest person in my incoming class, you know, which was like 60 people. And most of them were like upper 20s, 30s, even in their 40s. So, you know, that's sort of like the first lesson is like, don't feel like you got to sprint into grad school. Like there is time. But for an enlisted person, the tuition assistance could be a really useful way to work through without utilizing that GI Bill and work your way up to a degree. Now, there are other degree programs for helping enlisted get undergraduate degrees that each of the services host. And if you're interested in that, you know, this is sort of like the first lesson or the first golden nugget, first foot stopper of things you should write down about tuition assistance is instead of just listening to the, you know, the barracks room ballads and gossip and that one kid who's using tuition assistance right now, and you're like, oh, I'll do that too. No, go talk to the expert. Like there is a really helpful person sitting in every base's education center who's the tuition assistance expert who has to apply or sorry who will receive and review and approve all of the applications on the whole base that come through. So like the best thing you can do is just go there right away and say, hey, this is what I want to achieve, right? And it's just like the way we talk about military missions and tasks is we talk about what's the thing we want to achieve. You know, we want to seize that hilltop. We don't say like, okay, we're going to all start out walking really quietly through the woods. And then when we get to the edge of the woods, we're going to, you know, have to like get down on our stomachs and start crawling. We just say like, okay, we're going to seize that hilltop. And then we kind of work through the best way to get there. And that's the same thing that's going to happen when you're doing, you know, going to get some education. Go to the education office, not your education officer at your unit, right? Like, again, I remember this from being a second lieutenant who had already gone through grad school, had 2 grad degrees, you know, 2 undergraduate degrees. And here's this second lieutenant who was like, I don't know, he checked in like a week before or a week after I did. And they're like, hey, you're going to be the education officer for the the whole battalion. You know, and here's a kid who is like just turned 22, just graduated from what, who knows what university, but he didn't have any, he wasn't specialized in it. He wasn't an expert in it. He didn't, he'd never even been to grad school. Like he had no ability to actually like counsel anybody and bring him through. But if you went to the education office, there would be somebody who's helped hundreds and hundreds of people on your base from all different, you know, branches, specialties, backgrounds, units, figure out the best way to do what they want to do. And so start there and find out if tuition assistance is even right for you. And maybe there's another program. You know, the Air Force has got some awesome programs where they'll just basically get you through college. The Navy's got some really good programs that will send you off to get, whether it's a medical degree or a nursing degree or some kind of degree, so that you can then come back and serve as a commissioned officer in whatever that field is. So start there, talk to the experts, tell them what you want to do, let them help you put together a plan. And then maybe if tuition assistance is still the best way for you to go about it, go for it. Now on the officer side, it's a little bit different, right? As an officer, you've already gotten your undergraduate degree. You may have a graduate degree. If you're, you know, a C lawyer, a judge advocate or a doctor, dentist or something like that, who's already got an advanced degree, then like you don't even really need to listen to this unless you're trying to go get some fun certificates or, you know, maybe a bachelor's degree in computer science. But as an officer, you know, one, you've got to wait a little bit longer. You've got to wait between 2 and 4 years before you can even start. And at that point, you're not going to be able to, you know, whereas the enlisted can go out, use tuition assistance, get the undergraduate degree, and then, you know, possibly launch into a higher education as a civilian or go into an enlisted commissioning program and level up, right? And just imagine here's an example of what I mean by that. A sergeant with, you know, 6 years who's getting about $3,800 base pay, who then comes back, uses tuition assistance, gets a degree, applies for enlisted commissioning program, gets approved, goes, completes officer candidate school and commissions, is now coming back as an O1E with 6+ years. And they're going to make an extra $1,000 a month in base pay. It's like, you know, it's like a 30% raise. So for them, like this is something, again, for enlisted, like this is a great tool to add not just to your qualifications, but to your ability or potential to earn more money. An officer goes out, uses tuition assistance. Nobody cares, right? You know, on my application to the Marine Corps, I was like, yes, I have graduate degrees. Look at me. And they're like, who cares, right? You know, like, that's not going to get you anything extra, especially not in the first parts of your career. You need to really look at what your longer term plan is. And so for an officer, you know, again, if you're in the Air Force, Space Force, Army, and you're about 2 years in, you know, you don't want to wait until you get out and transition to be a civilian to get that additional degree. Maybe you really want an MBA, so that as soon as you're getting ready to transition and separate, you know, you can start applying to start applying for jobs and list on there that you've earned an MBA. Well, there's some trickiness with the whole career timing, right? Because once you've used tuition assistance, you have to stay on active duty for 2 years or on the selected reserve for 4 years. Again, these are specific commitments officers have to make. Enlisted, you just have to like serve like 1 year for every year that you use tuition assistance. So, you know, going back to our motivated E3, who just came back and has got 6 years until they're going to separate because they plan to do one more enlistment. You know, they could, those obligations start the moment you finish the year. So like, you know, their third year, they use a tuition assistance. They got to stay on one more year. And during that one more year, they use a tuition assistance again. So they can use it for like the next 4 or 5 years up through their seventh year, stop. And then They've got one more year to go to pay back the last year of TA that they used, and then they're free. Officers, on the other hand, you know that it's a 2-year like legal service obligation, right? You literally have to agree that you're not going to separate for the next 2 years. So, you know, if you look at that, even if you start after 2 years, you know, that's going to automatically force you to continue your career, because by the time you finish using that tuition assistance at the end of your third or fourth year, you've automatically are going to owe 2 more years back. And so there's sort of like this delay in which, you know, you might be thinking you're investing in yourself and your ability to go get a job someplace else, but simultaneously you're just extending the time that you are obligated to stay in the military. The good news is that these are concurrent. So, like, you know, if you get promoted to O3 and just finished using your tuition assistance, like when you get promoted to O3, like you already owe a service obligation for like 2 years. And just by accepting the promotion or just by accepting PCS orders. So you might as well have just used the tuition assistance if you're planning to promote and stick around, because the 2 years you owe for that will serve, you know, at the same time as other stuff. So it doesn't like stack up. But either way, the point here is that for an officer, there's no immediate reward for tuition assistance, but there is an immediate and fairly long legal obligated payback. So you really have to have a good idea of where you want to be 5 or 10 years from now before you start using tuition assistance. So let's just talk about real quick the repayment and some other options, okay? Before we jump into the main point of this episode, which is it right for you? If you're enlisted and you use it and you get out, let's say you just use it for 2 years and then you get out 1 year later, so you, like, for whatever reason, you needed to serve 2 years, you only served one, then the military is going to dock your pay to get, or they'll call the IRS and tell the IRS to garnish your wages from or add penalties on your taxes that you owe each year until the government, because they all, you know, they're all government, until they get the money back for whatever you didn't pay back with your time. So it's don't just take a flyer on this and do it because your buddies are doing it, or do it because, you know, we grew up in America where we kind of paint this picture of, like, it's not good enough to have a high school diploma, it's not good enough to have a GED, you have to get higher education, you'll never make it if you don't get go to college, right? Like, that's a deeply embedded story, like, in our culture and sort of part of the American dream, is that, like, you've gone to college and had a good time and, you know, look at you, like, you had to, for whatever reason, you chose to, or you had to enlist after high school and you didn't have a chance to go to college, and now you're like, I should get that done, right? Well, it depends. And so you don't want to make that mistake of using tuition assistance to go pay for a degree that you might never use and that you might actually have to pay back the TA anyway. And remember, you've got the post 9/11 GI Bill. So if there's any doubt and there's any uncertainty, then, like, you don't even really need to roll the dice with TA. Just wait, get out, see what life looks like. And if you decide, like, the jobs that are available to you are not up to what you want and you really do need to go to college, then you still have the GI Bill in your back pocket. And then also, you know, there's a chance. I have a really good friend. He was a roommate of mine back when we were lieutenants, and, you know, he did some time flying for the Marine Corps and was not totally stoked. And so he went over to the Air National Guard. Was he SOL? Was he out of it because he, you know, did he lose his benefits? Not at all, right? Because within each state, the National Guard has state-level grants that do the same thing as tuition assistance. the really cool thing is that there are state schools in each of these states, like the California State University System, Illinois State Public Colleges, et cetera. And in a lot of these states, if you go to one of those, like the University of Texas at Austin, for example, they're just going to pay all your tuition, right? It's not capped at $4,500. They're going to pay all your tuition. And in California, that can be a really good deal. They're the same. So once again, you know, this is, you know, you can also spend some time talking to the education office. And, you know, if you, your ideal life is to continue to serve just in a non-active duty capacity, a lot of times the reserve recruiters come and get you. And as we said earlier, like if you're a reservist, like you're a Navy Reserve 03, and you're like, oh man, I didn't want to be on active duty. I still want to serve. And now that you're in the reserves, you're like, let's use tuition assistance. Well, your obligation is going to be 4 years instead of two, right? So there's still some strict penalties, but maybe you consider going home and transitioning into, you know, the Ohio National Guard, right? I don't think Ohio has a Navy, but you could still serve. It would be a slightly different organization and uniform, but, you know, then you could go out and you could use that state-level program and work on your degree after leaving active duty without any sort of, like, you know, big sentence or penalty coming with it. All right, so essentially what we've gone through here is up until this point, what we really wanted to talk about in this first half of this show was, just because people talk about tuition assistance, just because people say you need to go to college, you need a degree to make it, doesn't make it true and doesn't make tuition assistance the best way to do it. For officers, you have pretty lengthy service obligations that come with it of 2 years or longer. You know, and what I can tell you just as a quick anecdote of how the actual, you know, the Marine Corps, we're with the Department of the Navy, so we're not as big as the Army, right? But once you put us all together, it's like a third of people in uniform are under this sort of rules. Is my executive certificate was like a three, it required using tuition assistance three times over like three semesters. And each semester costs like, it was like 9 credit hours. So it was like $2,200 or $2,300. And so in order for me to like get that whole certificate free, I did two semesters in one fiscal year, maxed out my $4,500, and then waited, skipped an academic quarter to wait until the next fiscal year came. And then in October started my third and final quarter and module on that, and used another $2,300 bucks of tuition assistance. And the way that that was accounted for is that was three individual uses of TA, which meant 3 years that I would have to serve. I only had 2 years of a legal service obligation, but because I used it three times, I had to serve 3 years. And if I left after 2 years, I would have owed back $4,500 or $2,300 bucks, like one third of what I used, right? So, you know, just as a way of thinking about it in the accounting, not really sure where I was going to go with that, which is okay, because I wanted to get to the important bit, right? And that is really trying to decide if education is right for you and your ambitions, your career plan, et cetera. And earlier what we said is for officers, it's tricky because you're not necessarily going to get more money, better promotions, or better jobs just because you have different degrees, like graduate degrees in the military. Plenty of my buddies is O2s and young O3s went out and got an MBA using tuition assistance. That MBA has paid them back exactly $0, so, you know, tuition assistance only pays for tuition, doesn't pay for fees, lab fees, books, testing materials, all that. It's only the tuition. And so, you know, whatever they were out of pocket was kind of like a hobby. They're still all in uniform, so nobody cares. And the stuff they're doing now that required advanced degrees, the Navy, Marine Corps, the Army actually selected them and then sent them to one of the respective services graduate schools, like Naval Postgraduate School, right? So they went out, they got their MBA. A year later, they got selected to go to Naval Postgraduate School for ops research. Spent 2 years or a year and a half doing another graduate degree. And then they got orders to go be an OR specialist. And the MBA is just collecting dust, right? So even if it was free, they did put in the hours and the time away from their families and doing what they wanted. And it's not really paying them back. So there's you have to think about that. The best way to figure out whether or not you should go spend any time or money on getting a degree is the ROI of the degree. It's just like an investment, right? This is an investment in you. We're not investing in the stock market. We're not investing in real estate. We're not investing in retirement funds. But if we were doing that, in any of those cases, we would want to get at least a positive ROI. We would want to at least make our money back. And ideally, we want to shoot for like an 8, 10, 12, 20% ROI. The better, the more the better, right? And so when you're making a decision of whether or not to invest time and or money and use tuition assistance, for example, again, you have to put in time or obligated service, could have to pay it back if you leave early. So it could end up costing you money no matter what. You got to figure out if there's a positive ROI. And so the first thing I would say is to any newly commissioned young officer, no matter what service branch you're in, is you don't need to use tuition assistance unless you're planning to get out in the next 4 to 6 years. And you can, you know, use tuition assistance in years 3 and 4, promote, execute orders, and at your next duty station, resign your commission. And now that MBA that you use tuition assistance to get can kick in. Or maybe you worked on a certificate in like cybersecurity or something like that. The reason is no matter what you invest in there, it's not going to boost your ability to get promoted, to get better job assignments, et cetera. In fact, the number one thing that you can invest in to get a payback or to get paid back in a way that rewards you is to do your job really, really well as a young officer, an 01, 02. And if you are a top performer, you're going to get rewarded. You'll probably promote faster, which does translate to more money. And you're more likely to get selected by each of the services' educational programs to go to graduate school, like a resident school. So you don't have to do your MBA in the evenings after a 12-hour day like you would on tuition assistance. Because you perform well and you focused on your job and the mission at hand and taking care of your troops, you got promoted faster, you got selected for an education program, and now the government is giving you 1 or 2 or maybe even 3 years, depending on the program, on their dime to go out and focus 100% on an education and then come back, and you're going to stay in the military at that point a little bit longer. But at that point, it's a much more, you know, you've got more out of the schooling, you'll be getting paid more, and it'll help you to grow your career path and your prospective job assignments, right? Again, using the example of my buddies who went and got MBAs, and what's an MBA worth in the military? Like, nobody cares, right? We want technical expertise. Now, maybe you've been in for a while, and once you get past sort of like that 8 to 10 year mark as an officer, it could start to become worthwhile to go use your tuition assistance and go get an MBA or go get a different undergraduate degree. You know, if you went and you got an undergraduate degree in like political science or history, you can still get jobs with that, but maybe you want to go out and get a undergraduate degree in computer science or cybersecurity and really boost your earning potential. Like, once you hit 8 to 10 years or so and you are now in a way that you're in the next 5 years, you're going to do things that are going to pay you back in the 5 years after it, now it might be time to start considering, right? So you pin on 04, take the next 3 years using tuition assistance to add a degree. It's not necessarily going to help you get promoted to 05, but once you're in 05 and you're in that quote-unquote phase three operations to retirement, now you have the skills to market. And if you wait too long, right, like those 3 years are going to be followed by 2 to 3 years of obligated payback. And so you're automatically, if you start in year 10, you know, that's locking you in through year 15 or 16. If you wait until you're in the final 5 years of your career, you know, and that's a lot of times non-strategic folks who, about their careers have been, is they get up and they like get selected for 05 and they're like, oh man, I've only got like two more PCSs until I hit my 20. I really need to start thinking about, you know, 5 years from now, what I'm going to do. If at that point they're like, oh, well, I'm going to spend the next 3 years, you know, getting a graduate degree or like improving my skills and certifications, they might run out of time before 20 to like pay that all back. And then, you know, who wants to give the military or the government cash when you retire, right? So it's probably best for an officer in that like 10 to 12 year mark. 10 to 13 years is like an optimal time to go out there and get that additional degree. And also at that point, you probably have already gone past the eligibility window when your service was going to select you for school, right? So at this point, you have a potential for it to pay you back. Now, for enlisted, it's a whole different matter, right? Like, if you are an enlisted member of our armed services, like, you have two main strategies where tuition assistance makes a lot of sense. Now, nothing comes free, right? Like, we all have to, especially in 2024, you know, we all have to have like a side hustle. We all have to grind a little bit harder because, you know, all you got to do is look at the price of things, right? Like, in the past 40 years in my lifetime, salaries have only tripled about. But the average price of a house is 8 times more expensive. The average price of a car is 5 or 6 times more expensive. Gas and groceries are 4 to 5 times more expensive. Like, everything's getting more expensive, and you can't quite hack it on one job anymore. So you could work two jobs, or you could level up, right? And leveling up is a great move for anyone who's enlisted in the military because it can pay you off now, and it can pay you off later. So what I mean by that is, again, we can go back to the example that I kind of used in the first little bit, which I was looking at an E5. You know, an E5 with over 6 years, their base pay is about $3,600. They may still be living in the barracks, so they may not be getting BAH. So we'll just say, like, okay, you're an E5 in the barracks, you reenlisted. You know, you're making $3,400 to $3,600 a month in your fifth and sixth year of service, right? And if you then put in the time and the money, right, because you can use tuition assistance to cover some of your tuition, but then you're going to have to pay for fees, you're going to have to pay for books, and you may have to pay additional out-of-pocket for more credits in order to move through that degree program quickly. And, you know, if you go through that and in the next 2 to 3 years you get an undergraduate degree and become eligible to become a commissioned officer, and then you jump up, you know, instead of reenlisting a third time after year 8, instead you commission and now you're an O1E, so 01 with enlisted prior experience, just look at the difference in compensation. You might still be an E5 with 8 years, in which case you'd be making $3,800 a month. Even if you got promoted fast to E6 and you're getting $4,200 a month, compare that to an O1E who's going to be getting $5,300 a month. So we're talking about $1,000 to $1,500 more per month, or $12,000 to $18,000 more per year in that 1 year alone. And then if you're also, you know, from an E5, if that then obviously makes you eligible for BAH, you know, now you can stack on another $15,000 to $20,000, maybe more, depending on where you are, of tax-free income. And so in reality, with tuition assistance covering up to $4,500 per fiscal year or $250 per credit hour, I would just look at tuition assistance as like a grant, like something extra. I wouldn't even let it be the determining factor of whether or not I'm going to go work on a degree. If you use tuition assistance, you generally are able to apply and get special consideration to schools that are military friendly. So it's still probably the best strategy to go that route. But even if you're not eligible for tuition assistance, you should still continue on paying out of pocket whatever you have to get that degree because of what it's going to do to your earning potential. You know, you can do the math real quick and say, let's just say that, you know, you had to spend $4,500 of your own money over per year for 4 years. That's $18,000. And then in the very first year after that, as a commissioned officer, your base pay is $18,000 more, and you're getting $18,000 in BAH. You're getting back $36,000 in year one on an $18,000 investment. So that, you know, that's a 100% return in the first year alone. And it's only going to get better after that. So any ambition to stick around in the military and to move up and take a chance at an commissioned officer's position, you should go after tuition assistance as soon as you're eligible, right? And as soon as your command approves you. And even if they don't approve you, start working on your credits and your degrees right as soon as you can, because it's a great return on an investment. And then, you know, the second strategy or second use case for enlisted would be, you know, you're going to get the GI Bill, and the GI Bill is great. The GI Bill is going to pay you BAH for wherever you're going to school. And what's even better is that if you apply to go to school and the last job that you had was, you know, enlisted in the U.S. military, your base pay is going to make you highly eligible for federal grants instead of loans for grants and scholarships, need-based grants and scholarships. In fact, a great strategy, in my opinion, is to go to school in California to like a trade school or a tech school after one or two enlistments. Using your GI Bill, you're going to get, you know, I'm not going to take the time to look it up, but you're going to get massive BAH every month that you're going to school. That's going to help you cover the rent and cover all your living expenses. And then California's going to hook you up by sending, you know, covering your tuition. So you have to ask yourself, what's the best return on my GI Bill then? Is it to leave the service and go out and get an associate's degree? Or even an undergraduate degree, in which case it'll sort of like slightly boost my what kind of jobs I can get, how much I can get paid. Or would it make more sense to use a GI Bill to go get an MBA or a graduate degree that is going to make me massively competitive in the hiring process and give me the qualifications to go out there and target six-figure, you know, salaries from the get-go? And so, once again, if your ambition is to leave the military and go to school, you know, a great thing to do is to not save your GI Bill to go get an associate's degree or go to technical school, but to use your tuition assistance while you're in uniform to check those boxes. Because let's face it, an associate's degree and a bachelor's degree kind of nest together, and they have a lot of just general education requirements. Like, you just have to take College Writing 1 and College Writing 2 and College Algebra and maybe College Statistics and a couple chemistry or physics courses. Like, there's a lot of general education requirements. Use tuition assistance to pay for those and then keep the big bucks and the you know, the real most powerful weapon you have with the GI Bill. Keep that in your back pocket And, you know, sort of like an additional benefit of that for you is that you're going to get the chance to, while you're in uniform, using tuition assistance, taking these general education classes, you're going to get a chance to figure out, like, what you actually like to study and what you actually want to do. And one of the reasons why it took me a long, long time to get through school is because I started going down a liberal arts path, and then I sort of, like, readjusted and was like, oh, I'm going to do pre-med. And then after three, I was ready to graduate in 3 years, but I was like, I don't want to do medicine anymore. I went, you know, I was kind of floating, right? I was taking these classes and figuring it out as I went. On the job training at the cost of, like, you know, when it was all said and done, I had, like, you know, I think $140,000 in student debt. So that was a really expensive series of mistakes and like trying to figure it out. But if you can use tuition assistance to pay for all those general education classes and figure it out while you're in, you know, an E3, E4 in the military and just kind of like moving along and figuring out life, when you get out, you'll be able to focus your time and effort. If you have to come out of pocket, the money you come out of pocket will just be paying for classes that are specific for what you want to do. And again, ideally you could work your way through an associate's and an undergraduate degree using tuition assistance, leave the military with an undergraduate degree, no debt, and move straight away into grad school, go get your MBA, use the GI Bill, and you're going to be like 25, 26 years old, right? And you're going to be student debt-free, highly qualified, highly competitive, very easily hired, and at a really good salary. And you're going to, again, we're going to bring it back one final time just to emphasize, look at the return on investment, right? And to kind of sign off with this example and how it works is I went to graduate school and I took on six figures in student debt simply because I was following the narrative, the peer pressure, the expectations, the guidance from, you know, school guidance counselors and family members that was like, hey, you're smart, go to school. Hey, undergraduate degree is not enough. You got to keep going, keep pushing. And all along, all I really wanted to do was, you know, serve in the Marine Corps. And, you know, I had hurt myself as an undergrad, and so I had to wait a few years to come back and try again. And when I got in the military, like, it paid off absolutely $0. Right. And so for me at this point in my life, recently retired, you know, I spent $100,000 on a graduate school education that I have yet to have any benefit from. So it's got a big fat zero return. You don't want that. So you always want to instead look at how that will make you a more promotable, more competitive for getting hired or earn a higher paycheck. And in the military specifically, it's like almost a no-brainer for enlisted with any ambition. Like if you have any ambition to like move up and you don't think of officers as the dark side, but you just think of it as like another part of the team who happen to have an undergraduate degree and therefore get paid like way more money, why not use tuition assistance as the career changing and career enhancing, you know, catalyst that gets you to that level? And then, you know, obviously, if you've already got your undergraduate degree, whether you're officer or enlisted, the next window is really in, like, you know, that 10 to 13 or 10 to 14 year window, so that you can go out and get an MBA or an advanced degree, and then you can pay back the time and the years that you owe for it before you hit your 20 and before it's time to retire, so that you don't owe anything back at the end. And again, I'll say it again, and this is not to beat up any of my former students, you know, and young officers out there who are ambitious. Like, when you come out of college, you're like, I want more, right? Like, it's like anything. When you're one sport season, like at the end of the season, you're like, oh, I wish I'd keep going. I want to keep going. Like, I'm feeling really fit. I'm feeling competitive. I'm at the best shape I was for this sport of all season. Right at the end, like, let's just keep going. It's kind of the same with school, right? Like, if you don't use it, you lose it. But once you've been in it, after 4 years, like you're pretty good at being a student and you kind of want to just like keep knocking down targets and get the grad school done. But that's not going to pay you back if you're a young officer. Like, focus on your job, take care of your troops, be a high performer, and, you know, give the military 4 or 5 years to find out what they're going to select you for. And don't waste your time or money on tuition assistance. So, all right, you know, hopefully that's a real pragmatic, practical way to look at tuition assistance, more than just saying, like, you get this much money if you apply, and you have to apply by this deadline, 90 days, and da-da-da, like, right? You can find all that out at your education office. But just being practical about it and making it work for you and deciding whether or not it's a waste of money or it's a brilliant investment with six-figure, you know, returns, you know, that's really where you got to start. So at this point, I have not decided what we're going to talk about next week. So I've got no preview, no teaser trailer on it, but it will be another, you know, really military benefit specific talk that we're going to do. And then let's see. Wow. And then it's going to be September. So, yeah, why not? Like, you know, I think starting after Labor Day, we'll plan to get in the BRS and the Survivor's Benefit Program and really kind of break those down and see where we go from there. So thanks for tuning in. As always, share, you know, like, share, comment. And if you're following along on any of our social medias, you know, please subscribe, follow, and interact with us. And especially if you got any feedback, send it my way, either DM or email. You can find links to all of our social media accounts from our website, www.militarywealthcoach.com. And you can email me directly at coach. So it's coach@military-wealth.com. That's coach@military-wealth.com. All right. So until next time, it's been a pleasure, guys. Appreciate you all for listening and tuning in. Wish you all the best of luck out there. And as always, stay financially fit and mission ready.